Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 21 of the EFG Daily Commute. My name is Steven Dutzman. I am your host, as always, and I appreciate you joining me on my ride to work. So, my son and I did an episode last night. We were driving back from the New Haven tree lighting, and then we recorded an episode of Engage, a family gaming podcast, which will be publishing later on today. And, like, it just hit me, right? Like, we were already on episode 20, and the logically speaking, right, when you record something 3 and 4 times a week, and realistically, since I started this, I have not recorded fewer than 4 episodes, and I suspect that that will continue to be the case. It's still kind of interesting, right? Like, how fast the content pile has come up, and how cool it is to really have an opportunity to, like, really just get in and talk about, you know, my thoughts and feelings about given news topics. So first off, I want to thank everybody that listens. I do want to say, the way that the Anchor app works and that presents stats to me, just to give you guys, you know, just an inside look at how this works. It only gives me 2 statistics. It tells me the total number. Well, I get 3, right? I get a number of listens per episode. I get a total number of listens overall. And then I get an average number of listens per episode. And here's what I can say. The average number of listens is doing exactly what I was hoping, right? Like, just about every couple of episodes, it goes up, which means more people are listening, which is great. So thank you very much. I would still do this even if it was just my mom, but, you know, it's obviously not. And thank you very much to the folks that are listening to my kind of ramblings. Funny story about yesterday, though. So we went to the New Haven tree lighting, which, by the way, was lovely. Very cool. We actually had a spot. It was sponsored by, went to an event that was kind of indoors, so it wasn't outside in the cold, which really kind of had a country fair atmosphere, which I was not expecting, because we had to walk through it from where we parked. And we were at the New Haven Library, in their G Cafe, which is essentially a coffee shop that's attached to right off the Maker Lab in the New Haven Library. And, you know, they had sandwiches and coffee and hot chocolate and stuff, which is great. I think Evan, he says he only had 3, but I'm pretty sure he had, like, he just murdered half of a dozen prosciutto sandwiches, as one does. And so it was great. It was sponsored by NBC and Harvard Pilgrim. So thank you to both of those companies for letting us come. And so we watched the tree lighting, and, you know, we stayed for a little bit, and then we went home. And on the way home, that's when we recorded episode 20 of the EFG Daily Commute. And then as soon as that was done, we wrapped, and then we immediately started recording an episode of Engage, a family gaming podcast, because we just had to, right? Like, I didn't want to miss another week. There were some things that he and I could talk about. We also wanted to talk about some of our, the upcoming potential Minecraft Realms project. And so if you're interested in knowing what that is, by all means, this week's episode of Engage, a family gaming podcast. I'm sorry, I am a little tired, and I'm getting to that story why. So we just got into a groove, right? Like, we recorded a little bit. We recorded the daily commute, which probably took about 15, 20 minutes, because that's about how long these episodes have turned out to be. And then we immediately switched it over to to my other app and recorded the podcast for the week. The long story short, whenever he and I record in the car, we kind of just go, right? And I got behind a truck, and I was like, we're just going to go, we're going to stay in the slow lane, and we're just going to drive. And somehow I made it through. I remember being in Hartford, but I must have missed a sign, and I could have sworn I was on 84, like driving through like Southington or whatever. Which to those of you that don't live in Connecticut doesn't mean anything, but I thought I knew where I was. Like I was seeing landmarks, and I convinced myself that I knew where I was going and where I what I was doing, and I did not realize that Evan and I were in the wrong place until I saw signs welcoming us to Worcester, Massachusetts. So, yes, I drove from New Haven, Connecticut, up to Worcester, Massachusetts, and then had to turn around and go home. Evan and I did not get home until crazy late. He was very upset with me. He was basically delirious by the time we got home. But it's okay, it was worth it, because, you know, he and I got to hang out, we listened to some podcasts, we did some content creation, but man, I will admit, when we called my wife to let her know that everything was okay, and that, you know, that we weren't, like, stranded on the side of the road, or whatever, and Evan just shouted out, and I'm glad that we're in Connecticut again, you know, she was, it was a little embarrassing, but... You know, I'll own it. It was stupid. But what are you gonna do? I made the mistake and drove, you know, it was that time I drove home from New Haven via Worcester, Massachusetts. So yesterday was a fun ride. So the, and now you guys know, if you haven't figured it out by now, I'm a little goofy. But I'll own that mistake, and I'll probably own that mistake for the rest of my life. I have a feeling some of my friends will never let me live that down. So, the topic today, I want to talk about these baby consoles. The NES Classic, the SNES Classic, the Commodore 64 Classic, there's a Neo Geo Classic coming, there, Sega has announced a Sega Genesis Classic. The PlayStation 1 Classic came out this week. Well, actually, it comes out very soon. I think it comes out on the 3rd. But review embargo's lifted. And it looks like it's not going to blow the roof off the doors. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not going to be... you know, it is not as good of a package from a nostalgia perspective as the NES or SNES Classic were, for a number of reasons. Part of it is the games, you know, and we went over that on another episode, but another piece is that it, you know, these, you know, micro consoles, like these retro classic consoles, like they are, by nature of the fact that they are trying to make them smaller and cheaper, they also kind of make them feel cheap, so that did not help that particular case. And so, it didn't help there, right? It took the console and made it feel smaller and cheaper. But then, they really, the weirder decision is, you know, obviously PlayStation 1 games were produced in a number of different regions. And so, they actually didn't use the optimized versions of those games, meaning they, a lot of the games are... like, they were released in the PAL territories, like, you know, East, right? And so, they don't run right. They're not as optimized as versions that were released in North America. And so, as a result, like, they took this game list that wasn't super crazy to begin with, and then they kind of put the wrong versions of some of the games on there. And that's not great. And then on top of that, like, they didn't include extra features or, you know, it's just basically ROMs of these games. on a system, and you can use an old non-DualShock controller, which really makes some of these games kind of feel a little clunky. And another thing, so it's not, and it's also $100, right? Like, I know that that's not that big of a difference from 80, which is how much the SNES Classic was, but that $20 does make a difference. $80 is a little bit more than a video game, right? You know, $60 is basically an impulse buy, right? Like, you buy a video game because you just need something to do on a weekend or something like that. Some people do that. The SNES is a little bit more than that, but not an inconsequential amount. But $99.99, $100 is, that's big money. That's real money to a lot of folks. And here's the real truth. That's $100. $199 on Black Friday got you a PS4 and Spider-Man, which is insane when you think about it. So when you take that into account, you know, the SNES and NES Classic, that has kind of passed. They said they were going to have plenty of them in stock for the remainder of the year, and we really haven't heard a lot of supply issues. And Nintendo has actually come out, because a lot of people have been asking them, are they going to make an N64 Classic? And they said that they have no plans to make one at this time. Now, I think that's a lie. I think that they are working on one. It doesn't make any sense that they wouldn't. Somebody is thinking about how to make this thing work and make the wet math work on it. But the more I think about it, right, like, I know that that's coming. But I wonder, like, is this retro craze dead? Like, how much farther could it go? And I think if it's not dead yet, I think it's close. And here's why. It is, let's just go company by company, right? Like, ignoring, you know, the Commodore 64 Mini and the Neo Geo Mini, those are what they are. And, you know, those certainly have a niche audience. I suspect that the Commodore 64 Classic sold well, or sold better in the UK than it did here, just because there are a lot of people where that is the console they remember. They don't remember the NES that well because it wasn't released there. But the Commodore 64 was like their entryway into gaming. And so I am certain that there are a lot of people in the UK that really kind of bought that up. That is one thing that kind of influences some of these decisions, right? Like, we can't just assume that, you know, that we can't look at it from like a North American centric view. Like, some consoles were more successful elsewhere. There are a few opportunities. So the NES Classic, it's been done. The SNES Classic has been done. And Nintendo still has room to grow, and we'll talk about that in a moment, right? The PS1 Classic has been done. Now, they could remake it, right? Like, they could make the PlayStation Classic Ultra or something with a different selection. Now that they've learned their lesson from this, they could make it, you know, they could put DualShock controllers in it. They could find better games. Like, they could make, they could also, the PlayStation 1's library was so big, they could make one that's just role-playing games, or just, you know, maybe just sports games, or, you know, who knows. Like, they have the power if they want. And frankly, if they made like a PlayStation Mini RPG edition, I would buy that so fast. If they just went in and were like, all right, we're gonna have Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, we're gonna have Final Fantasy Tactics, we're going to have Suikoden 2, we're going to have Legend of the Dragoon, and then just onward and upward, Chrono Cross, just go, right? I would be down with that, and that's not entirely outside of the realm of possibility. Like, if Sony decided to go, like, the branded route and make, like, an RPG machine, I think that would be a potential follow-up. Realistically, anything else, PS2, PS3, etc., they're not going to put those on mini consoles. They're just going to re-release those games. That's how they're going to make their money on those games. Part of these nostalgia packages, to me, is there a way to resell older games and get, you know, kind of squeeze profit out of older properties? It's not necessarily all fan service. They just know they have to include it in order to make it worthwhile. So I think PlayStation is kind of done, just based on the fact that the PS2 games, they're better off trying to make it so that those games work on future systems. But, I mean, it's not outside the realm of possibility they could do a PS2 classic. But I think that's about as far as it goes, right? So maybe a PS2 classic. We know Sega is making a Sega Genesis classic. They have said they are. I really don't know what that looks like, because they keep releasing collections of their Sega Genesis classics. But there have been collections of Sega Genesis games before on, like, these cheap consoles. Sega's been really good about that. They were really free with kind of letting companies do that. Maybe a solid Sega Genesis-looking machine. That could be cool. I think what would be better, it would be great if they did it, is if they made it like a handheld. Like, if they made it a Game Gear and it included Game Gear games and Sega Genesis games, but put it in like a portable form factor where you could actually like charge it with micro USB and stuff like that. I think that could be really rad. Because that's something that you can't really do, and I would certainly use that. That would sit on my nightstand for a while. Because Sega has a lot of really neat like role-playing games that I miss. And I always wanted to play Phantasy Star, so I would be down. But that's about as far as I think Sega could go with some of those things. Now, the real question, and this is one that I think might have legs, is a Dreamcast classic. Now, the Sega Dreamcast was a failed console up and down. Right, like it came out at a weird time. It was marketed odd, but a lot of people really love the Dreamcast, and a lot of people really love the games that were on the Dreamcast. And so, I think there is something to be said about if Sega really pushed to try and get that thing made, they might have something. The games are a little bit more expensive to. They were bigger. This was the beginning of like that PS2 generation. And so I don't know how they would work out the rights, but I would hope that they are looking at that and going, you know what? Dreamcast had some really awesome games on it. Let's go and make a Dreamcast classic. I would buy one of those. I actually missed the Dreamcast, didn't get it, and there were some great games on there. Choo Choo Rocket and Resident Evil Code Veronica and Skies of Arcadia. They had some really interesting, there was a Jet Set Radio was on that thing. There were some very interesting games and some well-loved games that would very likely push some people over the edge, sell that thing, make some money. I would buy one, without question, really. So I think that's Sega, right? Like they have the option. If they do something cool with the Genesis Classic, like make it portable or something like that, I think that would be a great option. I just don't know if they're gonna do it. You know, I hope they don't just throw a Genesis on my entertainment center, because I don't know that we would actually do that. But you know, who knows? But I think the Dreamcast has some possibilities. Now, on the Nintendo side, they've already made the NES Classic. They've made the SNES Classic. I don't think that it is entirely outside the realm of possibility that we see an NES or SNES Classic 2. I think maybe an SNES Classic might be, like a sequel to that might actually be possible, more than the NES. I mean, the NES had 30 games on it, and they were really all the really good ones, that Nintendo could grab. With that said, if anyone could figure out how to, you know, kind of squeeze more out of it and make a second, it would be Nintendo. And I'd probably buy one if they made a second SNES Classic. There are certainly plenty of games on there I mean, when they announced that list of 20 games, a lot of people were talking about what was missing. So, that could be neat. But I think the N64 Classic has got to be somewhere on their radar, because it was a system that, you know, people would like. It had some great games. Realistically, anytime you have the opportunity to sell a package that has Super Mario Brothers 64 and Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time and Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, like, that trifecta is worth it to at least explore. But we've already talked about some of the challenges of the N64. I did a whole episode of this podcast talking about the challenges of the N64 Classic versus the PlayStation Classic. So, you know, if you want to hear more of my thoughts on that, go listen to it. I think there are some challenges with the N64, but I'm sure someone at Nintendo is trying to figure it out. But what I think the real possibilities for Nintendo are in their handhelds. Specifically, a Game Boy Classic and a Game Boy Advanced Classic, or maybe just combining the two of them. That doesn't necessarily feel like something Nintendo would do, you know, when they have the opportunity to make the two products, but I don't know. Either one of those options sounds great to me. Here's why, right? The Game Boy, the original Game Boy, had a lot of, you know, it came with Tetris, which is, by many accounts, one of the best video games ever made. But it's also, you know, super simple. It came on the Game Boy, and the Game Boy had its share of challenges. Its screen was not very great, right? From a technology perspective, it was not the best piece of hardware. You couldn't charge it, so you had to use batteries, and it ate batteries. It ate them. So there was that problem of dealing with the batteries. And in an effort to save battery life, really the screen was kind of dim. That technology is so much better now. Realistically, I think that Nintendo has the ability to, they could come in and they could make a better Game Boy now, right? That has, you know, a huge battery life, that is chargeable. Like, they could make it something that you could just plug in and charge. Game Boy and there were plenty of good Game Boy and Game Boy Color games that would be made better by nature of the fact that they might have a better screen. And one of the other issues on the Game Boy is that it had screen blur, which made it so that, like, if you were playing a platforming game, it was really hard to kind of see what you were doing. They could fix that, right? Like, they could deliberately go in and change it so you didn't have to deal with some of those technical headaches, which would actually improve some of those old games. I actually had a real hard time playing, like, the Mega Man games because they were, you know, the screen was light and it was screen tearing and things like that, or the screen blur made it really hard to play action games. And some of those games were great. Game Boy and Game Boy Color also had a bunch of Mario games, a bunch of Legend of Zelda games that people don't often talk about, which would be relatively easy to package. Not to mention the fact that this collection could include Pokemon Red or Blue, or both, if they so chose, or maybe they could just include Pokemon Yellow. Which gives them some options. Like, there are a lot of between the Game Boy, Game Boy Color, there's a lot of options there. I would presume that they would go with, like, a Game Boy Color, and that would be great. So they could do that. And I think a lot of people have nostalgia for those systems. They could make them slimmer, they could make them nicer, and they could make it chargeable. And I think that would, you know, that would save. That would certainly make that attractive. We would definitely buy at least one of those.
I think the next one, Game Boy Advance. Again, another system with a lot of great games on it that they could very easily fill up, and they could improve it right off the bat. A lot of people really enjoyed that game, and they could really improve it by doing things like, you know, making sure the screen is brighter, and again, making it so you can charge it and things like that. I think the Game Boy Advance is another really good opportunity. So, Nintendo then, if we look at it, they have three more, what I can see, potential retro remaster consoles, whatever we want to call them. Three more minis that they could make. Sega has one. I mean, technically two. The Genesis hasn't come out yet, so Sega has two. I think the only way PlayStation makes another one is if they really kind of brand it genre-specific and make an RPG box. And, you know, I mean, Microsoft, they really don't have anything, and they have made it very clear that they have no real interest or need to create a console that is based on... like Xbox One games, because their goal is to make it so that everything is just compatible on their current hardware. Like, they don't, that would be kind of, that would go against their branding, if you know what I mean, because they're really trying to do it elsewhere. They're really trying to just make the Xbox One thing, rather than selling something else. So, I guess, I mean, the to answer the question, do I think it's a fad that is going away? No. I do not think it is a fad that is going away. I think it is a fad that is really, it's nearing the end of its rope, just because there's only so many you can do, right? Like, there's just, you know, like, there's only so many. So since there are only so many options, I mean, eventually it's going to run out just because they have to, and then it'll just be a matter of kind of re-releasing them from time and again. So yeah. I'd love to hear what you guys think. Am I crazy? Do you think that maybe there's a classic console that I'm missing? Maybe Atari will roll out with the Atari Jaguar Classic or something like that. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. I'll be throwing this into the Engage Family Gaming community. If you wanted to get in on the conversation, by all means, please start a topic in the community. And just let us know. If you don't know where to get to our Facebook community, go to engagefamilygaming.com/community and join the Facebook group, join the discussion. We got cool discussions happening every day. I'm going to head on into work. Thank you very much for joining me today on the EFG Daily Commute. We are going to have a good weekend. I hope you have one as well. And we'll be back on Monday morning. And until next time, don't forget to get your family game on. We'll see you later. Bye.